Welcome to International Personal Finance's Q3 2020 trading update call for investors. Today, your host is Gerard Ryan, Chief Executive Officer, and he is also joined by Chief Financial Officer, Justin Lockwood. Today's conference is being recorded. I will now hand the call over to Gerard. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Marianne. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Q3 trading update call. As Marianne said, I'm joined this morning by Justin Lockwood, our CFO. Now, hopefully, you've had a chance to read our Q3 trading update, which we published earlier this morning. In addition, we also issued a second statement explaining the launch of an exchange offer for our 2021 Eurobond and a consent solicitation process for our sterling and Swedish krona bonds. In the call this morning, I'll cover our improving trading performance and our return to profitability, and I'll also provide some color around the refinancing process. As usual, we will have plenty of time at the end for Q&A. Let me start with the overview of Q3 and our return to profitability. COVID-19 has thrown a lot of very serious challenges at our business during the last 8 months. But I have to say, I am so happy with the dedication of our colleagues and agents and the energy and enthusiasm they have shown throughout this very difficult period. Our four-phase strategy, which we explained at the half year, is working effectively. And our focus on protecting our people and right-sizing the business has helped us to quickly return to profitability. And it's also worth noting that we were profitable in the quarter on both a pre- and post-exceptional basis. This is a very positive outcome and demonstrates the resilience of our business model, even in the most difficult of times. If I move on now to our operational effectiveness, all of our key performance metrics continue to improve over the course of quarter three, mostly, I think, because of the swift actions we took at the start of the pandemic to protect our people and the quality of our portfolio, and also the work we did to significantly reduce our structural cost base during the quarter. Our collections effectiveness improved month on month as government lockdown restrictions were eased from June onwards, and our agents returned to visiting customers. For the quarter as a whole, collections effectiveness was 95% of our pre-COVID plan. And as we moved to a more normalized trading footing, it was clear to us that providing a safe and supportive environment for our team so that they could serve their customers well was absolutely key to this strong performance. This positive momentum in collections effectiveness then allowed us to further relax our credit settings across the group, albeit somewhat cautiously. And this resulted in a 55% step-up in credit issued in quarter three over quarter two. And this represented a contraction of 49% year-on-year for the quarter. If we look at our individual business divisions, we delivered significant improvements in European home credit in quarter three compared to quarter two, as the relatively early resumption of our agent service allowed us to ease credit settings and issue more credit to our best quality customers in this region. In Mexico home credit, good collections enabled us to grow volumes in quarter three compared to the very uncertain quarter two. And in September, we increased credit issued to 55% of pre-COVID expectations. Credit issued in IPF Digital was at a similar level to the second quarter, obviously impacted by our decision to cease sales in Finland and collect out the portfolio in that particular market. Excluding Finland, we increased credit issued to 54% of pre-COVID expectations in September, supported by robust collections effectiveness. For all of our divisions, we expect to further increase credit issued in the coming months, rebuilding our receivables portfolio whilst maintaining strong credit quality. As we reported in our 2020 half-year statement, the application of IFRS 9 to COVID-related business impacts had a significant adverse impact on our impairment charge in the first half. At the end of quarter three, annualized impairment as a percentage of revenue was 38.1%, so broadly stable with the 2020 half-year result. This comprised an increase in European home credit, partially offset by pleasing improvements in both Mexico home credit and IPF Digital. In European home credit, the one-off impact of the proposed extension of the Hungarian debt repayment moratorium and the timing of debt sales offset an underlying improvement in the impairment charge. And just to give you a little bit of color on Hungary, last month, Viktor Orban, the Hungarian Prime Minister, announced his intention to extend Hungary's temporary debt repayment moratorium for certain customer groups until the 30th of June 21. Now, you'll recall it was originally due to expire at the end of this year. Details including eligibility criteria have yet to be announced, although it is clear that the moratorium is only available in respect of loans outstanding before the 18th of March 2020, and therefore does not impact any new lending. As noted in the statement today, we have recorded an incremental impairment charge in September for European Home Credit to account for this extension. Now, looking ahead, and I'd like to emphasize here that we've not seen any impact to date, we are prudently assuming that there will be a modest reduction in collections effectiveness during the winter period. This is based on our expectation of the potential recessionary impact of COVID on our customers' incomes and likely higher levels of flu and COVID infections, which may mean that agents and customers cannot meet as regularly as they would otherwise do. In the UK, we're all aware that the second wave of COVID is beginning to impact how we live and work. And I have to say, it's no exception in the markets where we serve our customers. Although governments in each of the countries in which we trade are assiduously avoiding national lockdowns and instead are opting for local restrictions, we have undertaken a thorough review of the successful actions we took to tackle the first wave of the pandemic so that we are as prepared as we can be for wave two. We've sourced personal protective equipment for our colleagues and agents to use when visiting customers. Remote working remains the norm for the majority of our colleagues in home credit and digital, and a range of remote alternative repayment options, all tried and tested in wave one, are available to customers if agents are unable to visit them. So moving on now from operational matters, I'll turn to the balance sheet, cash flow and funding, all of which continue to be key focus areas for us. As you know, we came into the pandemic period with a very strong balance sheet, and I'm pleased to report that it continues to be very robust, with the equity to receivables ratio strengthening to 56% at 30th of September from 51% at the half year. So obviously, significantly higher than our target ratio of 40%. We generated net cash flow of £143 million during the third quarter, and this was a combination of our robust collections performance, the effective management of credit issued, the impact of the cost reductions that we've already implemented, and the £45 million tax refund in Poland. Now, as a result, our non-operational cash balances and headroom on current debt facilities totaled £348 million at the end of the quarter. When we announced our half-year results, we explained that the impact of COVID-19 was likely to temporarily affect one of our covenant tests in the short term, and we opened discussions with our banks on appropriate covenant amendments. This process is progressing well, and I'm pleased to report that we have received credit committee approvals in respect of £123 million of bank facilities. And the final area I want to cover off here is the exchange offer detailed in today's announcements. Our bond exchange offer invites holders of our Eurobond, which is due to mature in April of next year, to exchange their bonds for a combination of a new Eurobond at 80% and cash repayment of 20%, both at par. We have also launched a consent solicitation process for covenant amendments to be made in respect of our sterling and Swedish krona bonds. If you're looking for further information, full details of the exchange offer and the consent solicitation process are available on our website. So that's www.ipfin.co.uk. So www.ipfin.co.uk. A successful bond exchange offer and the approved levels of bank facilities secured to date will provide us with a flexible financial structure to enable us to rebuild the portfolio by continuing to promote financial inclusion of our underbanked and underserved customers, fulfilling their credit needs responsibly. This in turn will deliver long-term growth and value to all of our stakeholders, as already evidenced by our rapid return to profitability in quarter three. So bringing this all together before we open for questions, the actions we took at the start of the pandemic period, the dedication of our teams, and the implementation of our phase strategy have helped us to make a rapid return to profitability in the quarter. Operationally, our trading performance continues to improve. We delivered better collections effectiveness, higher levels of sales, albeit we're still being cautious in respect of our appetite for growth, and underlying impairment is improving. We expect a modest reduction in collections effectiveness over the winter period, but we will continue to increase credit insurance to rebuild our receivables portfolio whilst managing overall credit risk. Clearly, we're very focused on the refinancing process, and today you've heard that we have secured $123 million of bank facilities as a result of our covenant discussion. An exchange offer for our main Eurobond is now live, and a consent solicitation process is underway for our other bonds. And just finally, COVID-19, has presented a number of very significant challenges, but it's important to view these in the context of the robustness of our business model and the financial strength of the group. We're the leading provider of home credit and have developed a profitable digital consumer lending business. We have served and continue to serve millions of customers with credit in a very responsible way, and credit that is often not available from other providers. We offer products that our customers like and that suit their lifestyle, and I believe that as we move beyond the pandemic, there will be strong demand in the markets that we serve, and that the temporary rate caps and moratoria will be removed in due course. Clearly, we have a very strong balance sheet, and our business models are proving resilient in this and other difficult periods. The bond exchange offer and a consent solicitation process launched today will provide the foundation on which we will continue our return to growth to serve both our customers and our investors. Now that completes the briefing for the quarter, and I'd like to hand it back to Marion to open it up for questions, and Justin and I will be happy to answer any of those for you. So over to you, Marion.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll take the first question from Stuart Ankin from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead.
Morning all, and thanks for taking my question. Can I just follow up on the point you made about Hungary, Gerard? There's clearly a number of other measures introduced which you touched on at the interim stage in different countries to try and protect customers from the impact of COVID. Are there any signs that any of the other countries are thinking about extending the measures they introduced? Thanks.
Sure. Good morning, Stuart. Well, Hungary is the only one where we've seen any action, and clearly that's down to Viktor Orban himself and those around him are now trying to put together the criteria for that. Obviously, it's expected to be much more restrictive than the free-for-all that were the first time round, so that's fine by us. As regards the other countries, from time to time we hear mutterings, but it tends to be from opposition politicians, but nothing really that indicates that any of the other COVID-related regulatory restrictions that were put in place will be extended. So the short answer is nothing else to report.
Can I just follow up, actually? There's probably a question for Justin. You obviously referred to the £36 million of timing or temporary timing differences in the impairment charge in the first half. Does the change in Hungary impact on the reversal of that over the next 6 and 12 months?
So the incremental impairment charge that has been booked in September has been done on the same basis as the accounting that we adopted at the half year. So that that increase in charge comprises about two-thirds to 75% being a discounting impact and the balance being an expected credit loss impact. And the discounting impact, the benefit of the discounting impact will flow back in the second half of 2021 and a little bit into the first half of 2022.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Stuart. Any other questions, Marion?
Please go ahead, Gary Greenwood from Shore Capital. Your line is now open.
Hi. Morning. I just had one question. Obviously, it's good to see that you've moved back into profitability in Q3. I was just wondering if you thought you could maintain that during Q4, given your comments around collections effectiveness being slightly worse over the winter months. Thank you.
Yeah, Gary, it's Justin. So I'm not going to make a profit forecast at this stage because much will depend on the impact that COVID-19 has on our operational performance in the fourth quarter, and particularly on collections. And as we said in the statement, we do anticipate that in the winter months, we will see a modest reduction in collections effectiveness, and that would be consistent with slightly lower levels of net revenue generation. So I think the short answer is it will depend on the operational performance in the quarter, and clearly, there's a lot of uncertainty around that.
But there are no indications at this point in terms of the momentum in the business that would cause us to think we'll go into reverse. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gary.
We'll now take the next question from Jerome Legras from Axiom Al. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. Just a quick question on the new bonds that will be issued. Can you give us some indication on the terms and if they are expected to be issued around par value and to be trading around par, or do you plan to have a discount on the coupons, or anything you could say about the new notes?
Yeah, so we've appointed book runners, and now that we've made the announcement publicly, they will be in discussions with existing bondholders, and that's obviously a process of discovery, as you know. Clearly, we're trying to be fair to all parties concerned, which is why we're doing a at par for the existing bondholders. But it's over the coming couple of weeks that we would expect the process of discovery through those discussions to inform us in terms of the price and the tenor.
We'd expect the pricing details to be firmed up in around about 7 days' time, so by around about the 21st of the month.
Just to follow on from that, we've also been asked by somebody earlier today why we were doing 20% cash and 80% into the new bond. And I think the answer is fairly straightforward in that clearly the business is a bit smaller now than we would have anticipated at this point, all down to COVID. But as a result of our good work on our expense side, very effective collections and being cautious on credit, clearly, we've built up a lot of cash, and that sits on the balance sheet earning zero. So economically, it makes sense for us to use some of that cash to pay down some of the existing bond rather than just refinance the whole thing.
In the statement, we refer to having non-operational cash balances and headroom on current debt facilities of £348 million. The cash element of that, which we could use today to pay down debt, is £172 million. So it's a very substantial amount of cash out on the balance sheet at the end of September.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll now take our next question from Otto Dechel from Stifel. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Follow on also on the bond exchange. Would you say, is there a minimum amount that you need to accept the exchange offer for this to all go through? And separately, I mean, the sterling and Swedish crown consent solicitations, I mean, are they, they're basically crucial to this whole transaction to go through as well, or could you go even if either of those doesn't go through? Thank you.
Otto, I'm afraid it's actually extremely difficult here. You're coming in and out. So I think what you've asked is there a minimum amount that we would want in the exchange offer? But I didn't quite catch the second part of the question.
Right, sorry. The second part was if the sterling and Swedish crown consent solicitations are crucial as well to the whole bond transaction to go through, or if in either case, if the consent doesn't go through, if that derails the whole transaction.
So in terms of the transactions, whilst they are independent processes, we are looking for a positive response in respect of the SEC bonds and the GBP bonds, alongside the voting on the euro as well.
And on the exchange, so you'll find the details on the website. We'll hold a meeting for the existing bondholders, and a quorum for that meeting is 75% of bondholders. And then to agree the various things that need agreeing, we need 75% of those to approve. In the event that we didn't reach the quorum of 75% on that first meeting, then there would be another meeting that would be held. And for that, the quorum, I believe, would be 25%. So that's how the process works. But all of those details are on the website at www.ipfin.co.uk.
Excuse me if I'm still on, but the question was really, I mean, is there a minimum amount that you require to exchange? I mean, let's say if you only get 50% of people to accept, can you still go ahead, or what happens?
Yeah, so clearly we because of the effectiveness of what I mentioned earlier, you know, minimizing costs, being careful on issuing, and effective collections, we do sit on a lot of cash and also headroom on our bank facilities. So we could significantly reduce the refinancing amount. However, we need to be mindful that for participants to be interested in the new bond, then there's a certain amount of liquidity that would be required in the market. So there'd be a market-sized transaction. So let's just say that's 250 million plus or minus. You know, I think that's what the market would expect, so that people would feel comfortable about trading in the bond afterwards.
Thank you.
Okay.
There are no further questions in the queue at this time.
Okay, thank you, Marianne. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining the call this morning. Clearly, a lot of information out there now, and we're getting on with the process of the refinancing. Justin and I are available if any investors would like to talk to us directly, as always. But look, we're very happy with the quarter. Operationally, it's been a very good quarter for us. Good to see the return to profitability and the quality of our portfolio, as well as the strength of the balance sheet. Now our focus is on just the execution of the refinancing and rebuilding the portfolio. So with that, thank you very much, Marianne. Thank you, everybody, for joining.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.